Well, our scripture this morning is from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 4, verses 16 through 30. There is a focus in that story. The whole story is important, but the focal verses of that scripture are found in verses 25 through 29, and I'd like to review those with you now as we read from Luke chapter 4, verses 25 through 29. This is where it happens. Jesus says, "I assure you that there were many widows in Israel in Elijah's time, when the sky was shut for 3.5 years and there was a severe famine throughout the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them, but to a widow in Zarephath in the region of Sidon. And there were many in Israel with leprosy in the time of Elisha the prophet. Yet not one of them was cleansed, only Naaman the Syrian. All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I'd like for us to consider the text that we've just read and consider our subject matter for this text, objects of resistance. Objects of resistance. We live in an age when it's not unusual to encounter a barrier to achieving something that we've been asked to do. We're all familiar with those particularly annoying orange and white cones and barricades that redirect us when we're trying to get somewhere when we're driving in our cars. I was visiting a friend at a hospital one day when orange cones were everywhere. They were doing construction and parking was impossible. And there was one open place where parking was available, and I just saw it. I thought I'd make my move, and I went to the sign, and then because I'm used to backing in, I pulled in a place so that I could back into the parking sign, and as I look back, there's a sign that says, "Don't even think about parking here. You will be towed." And those aren't the only occasions when we encounter resistance to our desire to move forward in our lives. There may be times, depending on our circumstances, when people may be standing in our way. A law is written designed to prevent people from receiving justice. Those may be in the way. All of these things, from orange cones to unfair laws, are nothing more than objects of resistance. And if we've heard the word of God speaking to us today, there is a way to handle those objects of resistance designed to create roadblocks for us. We've all heard this story before. Jesus has come home, and he's gotten back into the normal routine of his life. It's the Sabbath day, and on the Sabbath day, every God-fearing Jew, except those who are prohibited by their laws of faith, every God-fearing Jew goes to the temple to give honor to his or her God. As a faithful follower of God's word, Jesus stood up to read, and they handed him the scroll of Isaiah. Now, it may be helpful to know that this would not be unusual. Isaiah is one of the most renowned and respected prophets of the Jewish faith. Of all of the prophets, Isaiah was a rock star. If indeed there was a prophet whose words would impact the people, it would have been Isaiah's words. And so, taking the scroll, Jesus began to read. And the words he read weren't new to them. The words he read, they had heard before. They had all heard this scripture before. They were, in fact, open to hear these scriptures. Jesus read the words of the prophet Isaiah. And you know the story. It was a story about God's word to Isaiah, saying that Isaiah had been anointed with the Spirit of God to bring good news to the poor, those who were poor in spirit, who had somehow been distanced from God's good news and now lived lives that were spiritually impoverished. It was to be good news for those who had become economically poor, living beneath the heavy burden of debt that came when you were on the lower end of the economic edge of society. It was about proclaiming release to those who were being held captive, imprisoned by economic forces beyond their control, held captive by spiritual tyrants who would lean on the people and exact heavy prices for mercy that God gave freely. Jesus read about Isaiah bringing recovery of sight to those who had lost sight of God in their lives, people who could no longer see the benefit of living a life trying to keep a law that seemed impossible to keep. And he read that Isaiah had come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, a year when God's blessings would be abundant for every man, woman, and child within earshot of God's word. And then he rolled up the scroll and he sat down. Those who were in attendance were waiting to hear the word of God preached, to hear this unorthodox and revolutionary rabbi bring more understanding to God's word from Isaiah. Up to this point, the whole room was as cool as the other side of the pillow. And then Jesus said, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And for a minute, things were really calm, or so it seemed. They were amazed at how gracious the words were that flowed from his mouth. If he had just kept quiet, everything might have been okay. But Jesus had to preach. He had to clarify what he was saying. He had to just tell them about who it was that Isaiah was talking about. If he had stuck to preaching God's word as it applied to them living under the harsh rule of the Roman Empire, then they would have been very happy. But no, Jesus had to talk about his mission as a prophet and a rabbi. He had to talk about his ministry, not to the Jewish population, but to the marginalized and outsiders. And so he used a widowed woman, a non-Jew with no male to take care of her. His other point of reference was Naaman, a soldier of great respect, but also a non-Jew who suffered from leprosy, one of the many who had been left out of God's community. He simply clarified his purpose among them. And that's when the haters in the room stood up, those objects of resistance. They stood up because it was becoming clear to them that if God's vision of the world were to unfold, it would mean a change in the status quo. They stood in opposition to God's call upon Jesus' life to see if they could end Jesus' dream before Jesus' dream became their nightmare. I guess it's easy to appreciate the light when you've lived in darkness. When that light comes, it opens up a whole new world before you. But when we start to believe that the light of God is only for us, then, people of God, we have a problem. And the problem is those objects of resistance that stand in the middle of God's road to redemption, making every effort to block some people from having the good news brought to them. They want to prevent people from experiencing the freedom that God's grace offers. The problem is those objects of resistance that would rather see the captives remain kidnapped by their oppressors, or they would rather the blind remain in darkness while the Lord's blessings fall only on those of their own choosing. But if we're going to start looking at objects of resistance, let's start with those known objects of resistance. Those who are openly willing to rise up to stop progress because they prefer the status quo, or they prefer to go backwards rather than forward. They'd rather see people remain captive and chained to systems of injustice than for persons to experience God's offer of freedom that comes from being out from under the economic and spiritual restraints that keep God's kingdom from coming in its fullness. And I guess the first place and the best place to start looking for objects of resistance is to begin looking in the mirror of our own lives. And let us pray, brothers and sisters, that when I've finished revealing what I believe to be the truth about God's kingdom and how it might unfold, I won't find myself being driven out of town, standing at the edge of town on the brink of a hill with someone ready to throw me over. See, brothers and sisters, most of us, are comfortable with God's blessings falling freely as long as we believe we will be the recipients. Somebody say amen. If I were personally able to hand out God's blessings on this road to redemption and I started calling out names and your name was on the list, I would venture to say that we would all be very happy people. We might even stand around joyfully telling others how blessed we were, how filled with joy we were, that God gave us something that no one could take away. We'd smile and grin and celebrate God's presence among us and probably marvel at how gracious God's words to us were that allowed us to experience such amazing grace. In fact, I'd be willing to bet you that someone might even stand without being invited and encouraged to shout hallelujah and break out into a rousing chorus saying, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see." But the first time I called the name of a known child molester and said that God's grace was available to them too, or a murderer, or a rapist, an ex-convict, or someone who was gay or lesbian or transgendered, or was in this day and age still carrying the HIV/AIDS virus, or was involved with pornography industry and said that God's grace was available to them, you might start to pull away from me. In fact, I can feel some of you pulling away from me right now. You see, brothers and sisters, in our culture, those are the people who are on the outside of God's welcome community today. Those are the people who in this day and age Jesus would have been talking about. Those would be the people about whom he would have said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to you." And those are the people for whom in this day and age we sometimes become the object of resistance to God's mission for the church and the world. That's why I maintain that most of us are comfortable with God's blessings falling freely as long as we will be the ones who receive them. As long as God's grace and mercies are falling anew on us every morning, we're okay. It's when the door of God's grace swings wide open to include people who are not like us that we fall into the danger of ourselves becoming objects of resistance. You see, brothers and sisters, there will always be those for whom, for whatever reason, are uncomfortable with the other person being included. Somehow we'd like to live our lives believing that we're special, that there's something about us that makes us more lovable and more significant than the other person. But that's not God's grace. If that were the way we wanted it to be, it wouldn't be grace at all. It would be because we took on the role of God to decide who would and who would not be acceptable. As long as we draw our own little circles of inclusion and exclusion, circles that define who we think is acceptable and who we believe is unacceptable, there will always be those who are lepers and not welcome within the community of faith. There will always be those who are relegated to the position of second-class citizenship, even within the family of God. And there will always be those persons whose desire is to become objects of resistance to God's plan for the world. Now, you might think that that's crazy. And you might ask the question, how I know? And that answer is easy. All we have to do is look at the history of what happens when people line up on God's side to bring good news to the poor, to liberate those who are imprisoned, opening the eyes of those who are blind, setting free those who are oppressed, and those who are oppressors. You see, brothers and sisters, it hasn't been that long ago that we've lived through a painful time in America's history, a time when people were being driven out of town and killed by those objects of resistance before they could get away, while trying to follow the example of Christ to set free those who were oppressed. Many of them faced objects of resistance with tragic consequences. And you may not remember all of the people or recognize all of the names of those working for the righteousness of God, but let me remind you of a part of history that some people might be too willing to bury or forget. And again, you might not recognize nor remember the names of these people. Addie Mae Collins, Denise McNair, Carol Robinson, Cynthia Wesley were getting ready for church services when a bomb exploded at the 16th Street Baptist Church, killing all four school-age girls. Reverend Bruce Clunder was among civil rights activists who protested the building of a segregated school by placing their bodies in the way of construction equipment. Reverend Clunder was crushed to death when a bulldozer backed over him. James Earl Cheney, Andrew Goodman, and Michael Henry Schwerner, young civil rights workers who were arrested by a deputy sheriff and then released into the hands of objects of resistance who had plotted their murders. They were shot and their bodies were buried in an earthen dam. Viola Gregg Liuzzo . She went to help register people to vote. And before she could get out of town, they killed her. Vernon Ferdinand Dahmer. He was a wealthy businessman. He offered to pay poll taxes for those who couldn't afford the fee that was required to be able to vote. And the night after a radio station broadcasted his offer, his home was firebombed. He later died from severe burns. Samuel Ephesians Hammonds, Delano Hammond Middleton, and Henry Ezekiel Smith were shot and killed by police objects of resistance who fired on student demonstrators at South Carolina State College campus. And what more should we say about those who persisted to proclaim the good news to the poor and set free those who were oppressed and found themselves casualties of today's objects of resistance? What more can we say about Martin or Medgar or any number of other people who shall this day remain nameless because they chose to stand against those objects of resistance in their lives? And just as importantly, what dangers or risks do we take when we are called to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor? Do we, like Jesus, face the risk of being driven to the edge of the community we live in and face the wrath of those who rather we maintain the status quo? Or would we stand in connection with God to include those to whom God chooses to extend mercy? And the answer is, we stand with God. We stand and face the reality of not being accepted in our own community. We stand against those who would fight God's plan of liberation. We stand against those objects of resistance and listen to the words of Isaiah. Not just those words that Jesus spoke, but those words from Isaiah that offers God's prescription for inclusion. Isaiah quotes God as saying these words, "Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right. For soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. Happy is the mortal who does this, the one who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and refrains from doing any evil. Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord, say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And do not let the eunuch, a transgender person, say, I'm just a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off, and the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcast of Israel. I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. And the truth is, there is more happiness in store for those of us remaining faithful to God. There's more happiness for those of us who maintain justice. There's more joy for those of us who stand against those objects of resistance that seek to destroy God's design to include those who are left out. If we remain faithful and stand in opposition to objects of resistance to God's plan of inclusion, we will have done God's will, followed by God's plan, and made room for all to come to God's house of prayer. That's the word of God for the people of God today.